So Brandon Snyder was a guy, almost falling on me. I kind of expected him to be bigger or something, but he's actually pretty lean, and I was really impressed with his plate discipline.
Yeah, he's that's one of the best things about him as a hitter, and it's really fun to watch. You know, everybody that we play with says the same thing. He has such a good mindset and approach when he goes up to hit. You know, he doesn't try to do too much. He just, you know, stays within himself and works counts, sees a lot of pitches. And, you know, he has such a good swing and good discipline that, you know, things come together. It seems like fairly easy for him.
Hey, I heard him before the Rising Stars game where he said, let's draw some blood, boys. Is he the kind of the leader in the clubhouse sometimes?
He kind of takes on that role. You know, he's very vocal with everything. And, you know, he's really good in the clubhouse. He makes friends easily with everybody. So everybody kind of looks at him, especially when the way he plays, you know. He plays first base hard. He, you know, he's always making plays. And, you know, that stuff from the field kind of carries over to the clubhouse, you know, with guys like that.
What about Josh Bell? He's a guy I watched close on defense. Talked to him the other day. You were just getting to see him in your organization now. But what's kind of your first impression of him?
It's impressive. He's got so many tools. And, you know, it's funny because when he first, you know, he came over, you don't really know what to expect. I've never played against him. I played against him once in high school, like in a summer thing. But when he came, the first thing that was impressive was obviously when he hits the ball, how hard he hits it every time, even ground balls. I mean, he just, you know, always hits the ball hard. And he's got a great arm from third. It's nice to have, you know, somebody that can, you know, get up and make those tough plays on balls that are rolling, you know, slow rollers and stuff like that. So. Got good instincts, good player. He's got a lot of potential and a lot of tools.
I've seen pictures of him too from a couple of years ago, and he's kind of a big dude. And he was telling me he's almost re-sculpted his body with that rehab for his knee. And
yeah. It
sounds like he bulked up a bit. He's going to lose some weight, and he could be someone who's chiseled and better than ever.
Yeah, definitely could be. I mean, it's hard during the season because, you know, you're so busy with everything. But in the off season is, you know, when most players make all their strides. And, you know, if you work hard, same thing that Snyder did last offseason. He lost like 25 pounds last offseason.
Wow.
So, you know, if that's what he wants to do, I mean, you can't do anything but, you know, but help.
When you're a pro ball player, though, I know a lot of fans are really hard on guys who are heavier than they should be. What happens? Is it just the daily grind and not really having time to eat right?
It's just a combination of things. That's probably the biggest thing. The biggest thing with anything is the nutrition part of it. But, you know, you're playing and you're on the road so much that most of the time you don't really have time to, you know, prepare good food. With eating well, you got to take time to cook and do all this stuff. You really don't have that much time, especially with the bus trips. You know, you're taking 6-hour bus trips, you know, late at night. You're eating at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and then you're waking up, you know, 10 or 11, and just eating something real quick before you go to the field. And it's just, it's tough, which is why the off season is such a big part of, you know, everything. That's when guys really make their strides. But it's really hard to continue with everything during the season. I mean, you do the best you can, but, you know, it's strenuous.
There's one thing I've never really understood, though, with the amount of money that teams invest in you guys with the player development side. Why aren't they feeding you right, and why aren't there more coaches, that sort of thing?
Well, I think it's just tough. I mean, it's really hard to, I mean, everybody's kind of on their own schedule as far as, you know, the food and the sleep and stuff like that. So there's only so much stuff you can monitor. I mean, most of the stuff that we get food-wise before games is stuff that, you know, they kind of know helps you, you know, just sustain energy. And a lot of that stuff really isn't the best stuff for you. But when you're playing every day and, you know, expending a lot of energy and, you know, doing all the running and stuff, you kind of need, you know, that extra, you know, you need a little bit extra to get you through.
Do they have any, like, dietitians who kind of?
Yeah, no, they do. They do during the season, and, you know, the food that they give us during the season is stuff that, you know, obviously just helps you, you know, play and have more energy. But in the all season is when the, you know, the diets are such a big part of everything.
Will you meet with the team and they'll kind of go over
that? Yeah, we have season meetings at the end of the season to go over all that, and they'll give us programs and, you know, everything that we need. Just the during the season is tough because guys kind of do what they feel their body needs.
What has it been like? I'm sure everyone asks you, but just getting to be out here with Steven Strasburg, see him pitch.
It's awesome. I mean, it's great. It brings a lot of excitement, you know, to the team and to the fans and stuff like that. So, I mean, just coming out in the fall, you don't really know what to expect. I mean, this is my first time playing in the fall, especially as far as, you know, fans and support and everything. But, you know, it's been great, and I, you know, having him here has been, you know, only helps. But, you know, just watching him pitch and his approach and stuff, it's impressive. But the thing that kind of gets lost in the shuffle about him and people don't really talk to him too much about is he's just such a, like, nice, quiet guy. Like, he's the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet, especially in the clubhouse. You know, you don't, especially with guys that have that much, you know, that press and that kind of the stigma, like the kind of, you know, aura around them. It's nice to see a guy that's just so humble, and you know, it's awesome that, you know, that he's the way he is. And I'm sure it gets tough for him because, you know, with the fans and the amount of time that he gets, you know, kind of sworn by fans and stuff like that. But, you know, he handles it pretty well, and he's an awesome guy.
I heard someone followed him home looking for an autograph.
Yeah, they followed us.
Do you live together? Or?
No. Well, we were just leaving the field, and usually, you know, guys will, like, follow his car or follow him back to wherever. And that's, you know, it's tough. It's fine when you're at the field because you got to expect it. But off the field, you know, it's kind of, I'm sure it can get a little stressful, especially with him, you know, because you leave the field and it's kind of like you're supposed to be able to just kind of relax and stuff like that. When you have people following you back, I'm sure it gets kind of hectic. But I guess it kind of comes with the territory a little bit. But I think he handles it pretty well.
And I was talking to Mike Leake a little bit earlier, and it was just amazing hearing the contrast. He was still a guy who went very early in the draft. He had a storied college career, but he was saying he feels for Strasburg, just that number one stigma. Yeah. I think he's the most hyped prospect ever. But like you were saying, when I saw you guys playing Frisbee the other day, he was out there smiling. Like, it really seems like he just wants to be one of the guys and have fun out here.
Yeah, I mean, you always come across guys who have, you know, awesome college careers and awesome, you know, high school careers and come out, and they have that same kind of thing. But he's just, his name is just creates such a, you know, a hype around him that it's got to be hard to kind of, you know, stay within yourself and just go out there and have fun. But, you know, before games, he's always out there with everybody, just, you know, throwing the Frisbee around, just relaxing, just, you know, just hanging out. So it doesn't seem to affect him, you know, too much. And he's just mellow-headed and really humble, and just kind of goes out there and he just wants to pitch, you know. He just wants to play, and that's, you know, that's, it's good that he's able to control all that stuff and, you know, go out there and do it.
I saw his changeup for the first time the other day when I saw him in college. He didn't really need to use it. What have you thought of that?
It's a pitch that he's going to need, you know, not necessarily all the time, but it's a great pitch for him to have, especially because guys know he throws so hard. So, you know, they're constantly looking for fastballs, and when you can throw a changeup, especially for a strike, it just changes the game completely. And for him, that's going to be a huge part of his success, is a changeup.
And following you a little bit, you had some huge seasons of the lower minors. I think a bit of adjustments in Double-A. What has it been to pitch against this kind of caliber hitter in the fall league and pitch against upper minors hitters?
It's been good. I think the fact that I struggled a little bit, you know, especially 2 years ago, I think it, you know, it helped out a lot in the fact that I've had to learn to do a lot of stuff that I didn't really know how to do. I've had to learn how to pitch, you know, consistently and be able to pitch without, you know, your best stuff that day. And to come out here against these hitters, it's a really good gauge to see kind of where you fit in with everything. And, you know, just come out here and keep learning, especially because my season was cut, you know, a little short with the shoulder problem that I had in the middle of it. But, you know, it was great to come out here and get some extra innings, especially against, you know, the quality of hitters. So, you know, usually when you play a team during the season, there's three or four guys on every team that you kind of, you know, have to look out for and, you know, pitch pretty carefully too. But here it's everybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to have to keep that mindset the whole game and, you know, to stay aggressive the whole time. You can't really back down to any hitters. So, you know, it's been an awesome experience, and I'm glad I got the chance.
What exactly was wrong with your shoulder?
It's just mostly a fatigue thing. I mean, it was just really weak. And I threw a lot really early on. And, you know, my arm just wasn't strong enough to handle it. But we rehabbed and got back and finished the season well. So, you know, everything feels great now. I'm just looking forward to next season now.
Yeah, I've talked to one of my friends in vet school about shoulder injuries. We were discussing Jeremy Hellickson's, and it seems like one of those things where, you know, when you're in spring training, it's normal to have tendonitis and that sort of thing. And
yeah.
Maybe it's something people get a little too worked up about. If you come back and you're throwing 100%, there isn't any damage.
I mean, yeah, it's especially with a pitcher, you go through so many problems. I mean, nobody's ever really 100% all the time. There's always little aches and little pains. And most of the stuff you can pitch through them, you know. But when you do have something that doesn't feel right and it stays there, the hardest part about it is when you come back trusting that everything's okay. So when you come back, you know, trusting that you can start letting everything go again and kind of get back into, you know, not thinking about it. That's the hardest thing. But just with any, you know, buddy who's doing anything for long periods of time, you're going to have kind of side effects. So,
is that almost like a sports psychology aspect of the game, or is it just getting to know your body really well?
Well, I mean, you're forced to know your body extremely well when you do stuff every day. And that's part of it. You know, that's why, going back to the nutrition stuff, everybody's different because everybody has different things they need. But the psychology part of it, it's big. Because baseball is a very mental game. It's a lot of thinking and a lot of downtime on the field. But it's a game of constant adjustments and thinking. So the mental aspect is, you know, just as important as the physical part.
And in the minor leagues, they have you guys behind the plate, charting games in between. Uh-huh. And I think that the mental aspect really is emphasized. What are you thinking about on the days you're not pitching? Are you dissecting a lineup?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the reason why we do all that stuff. You know, for a starting pitcher especially, it's, you know, you're only playing once every 5 days, so those days in between, it's, you know, kind of easy to just kind of lay back and, you know, make, you know, try to rest everything. But, you know, you can do that physically, but mentally you have to stay on game plan with, you know, what you're trying to do. So when you're charting, you know, you can see the hitters and see what they're doing, especially when you have a pitcher similar to you throwing. You can kind of take notes and make adjustments. And, you know, the days in between and the off season and stuff, those days when you're not actually on the field pitching are just important as, you know, maybe more important than the days that you're actually on the field. Those are the days when you make all the adjustments and, you know, just hope that it comes together on game day.
How about guys who are similar to you that you were able to learn from?
Well, especially with during the season, mm-hmm. With like Jake Arrieta, you know, we have the same kind of mentality, and we, you know, we pitch pretty similar to each other. So, you know, when he would throw before me, or, you know, vice versa, when I threw before him, you know, it's good to see, you know, how he's successful so I can repeat that sort of thing. And just with anybody, I mean, guys that have great off-speed stuff, there's different pitches. You know, guys that have great off-speed stuff, guys struggling, you know, that you might have to bring a little bit more of that to the table. And, you know, just kind of watching the game is, you know, how you get better, as much as, you know, going out and practicing and doing all that stuff.
What are some of the things that you and Jake have in common as pitchers?
We're both fast, very fastball heavy. You know, not a whole lot of breaking stuff, and, you know, it's tough to do, you know, if you don't have good command. But it's something for us that we both need to be able to establish our fastballs early in the game, and be able to throw that for strike at any time that we have to. Because, you know, for both of us, it's the pitch that we get most of our outs with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, similarly, we go out and try to do the same thing, try to get through the first, you know, couple times. At least the first time through the lineup, you know, the first couple innings with mostly just fastballs and stuff. And, you know, if I go out and I'm not successful with that, you know, against a certain team, then he can, you know that and make adjustments for when he goes out. And so, you know, it's you can do that from any pitcher. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we kind of have the same mentality, and we have the same, you know, kind of approach. So it was awesome to, you know, see him throw and, you know, take away stuff. Just anybody in any profession, anything that you do is kind of a collective, you know, bits and pieces that you've taken from everybody else, you know, and kind of mold them into your own. So, you know, especially coming out here where everybody's, you know, got a lot of talent, it's an awesome place to kind of learn and pick and, you know, throw stuff and kind of steal some things and, you know, that kind of stuff.
What do you have to do to be successful with your fastball?
I have to keep it down. That's the biggest thing. 2 years ago, I gave up a ton of home runs. And it's not that I was really, I wasn't pitching bad, I was just, you know, I was up in the zone. If you miss up, there's a very fine line between hitting the ball straight up in the air and hitting it 400 feet. So for me, you know, especially with the fastball, keeping it down and trying to get some movement in the zone is the biggest thing that I have to do with my fastball. So, I mean, it's just a game of adjustments and, you know, being able to, when you start feeling you're letting go a little bit, to be able to hone it back down and, you know, kind of get things back in check.
Josh Fields is a guy I've seen out here who has a ton of fastball velocity, but it's a pretty straight pitch. And when you contrast him to someone like Mike Leake, who gets a ton of movement on his fastball, I wonder sometimes. I think people get really caught up in the radar gun readings. I think it's totally changed the game having radar there.
Oh, yeah.
Is it something where you guys are consciously making an effort to maybe give up a few miles an hour to get more movement?
Absolutely. My first year, personally speaking, I went out and I just threw every single pitch as hard as I could. And I had no movement. It was straight as an arrow, and I was able to get away with it at that time because, you know, I kind of threw hard, but as I got up and went, you know, that approach didn't work anymore. I was throwing hard, and guys would just hit. I mean, my first couple of years I threw harder than I do now, like mid-90s. So for the, you know, that I was able to get away with some stuff, but if it was straight, it was just hit. I mean, there was nothing. So I had to incorporate a two-seam, you know, a sinker, something that would just, you know, still have the, you know, a little bit less velocity but more movement. And if I can do that and picture that, I'm happy just to give up the velocity. I mean, velocity only gets you so far in, you know, in high school and college as far as scouting. But, you know, in the big leagues, you can throw 100 miles an hour, but if it's straight, it's going to get hit. You know, guys are quick enough and are, you know, strong enough to where they can make adjustments. So especially like with Fields, I mean, just watching him throw, I mean, his fastball might be relatively straight, but I mean, I've never seen it from, you know, a hitter's perspective, but his delivery is deceptive and he hides the ball really well and, you know, keeps the ball down. It's got a downward plane, and that combination of those things for a hitter, it's hard to pick up a ball when a guy leans back or hides the ball really well. And, you know, I'll talk to guys who have hit against him and they say you just can't see the ball, even though it might come out of his hand and it might be a little straight. I mean, if you're having trouble seeing the ball out of his hand, or, you know, he's doing something deceptive with the lineup, I mean, it makes it that much more difficult to hit.
Do you see any similarities in his delivery and Tim Lincecum's?
Yeah, I mean, they both have that kind of, when they get here, they have to kind of lean back, and the ball comes out, and they don't really show you the ball until they're about to deliver it, so the ball stays back really a long time. And for a hitter, you know, they're trying to pick up the ball in your hand as soon as possible and just follow it. But when they're just kind of looking, and then all of a sudden the ball comes out, you know, it's got to be tough to hit. I mean, I haven't been hit since high school, but I mean, I remember some guys who were just tough to see, and it was just like you just hated to go up and hit. So, I mean, between those two, they have a lot of similarities in them. They both throw really hard, and so, you know, especially, you know, with Fields coming out of the bullpen and stuff, it's kind of almost a little unfair when he comes out and he can throw that hard with that kind of delivery and, you know, hide the ball well and throw consistent strikes down in the zone. It's got to be a challenge to hit.
Yeah, watching him in the College World Series, he kind of seems like the guy where when your kid's facing him, the mom's probably just a little scared.
Here we go.
I feel like some casual fans might look at the velocity readings you were getting in the lower minors and saying, oh, he's not throwing as hard now. Hey, he's had shoulder problems. Uh-huh. Something's changed. But it sounds like you're making a conscious effort to throw more two-seamers, get more movement. Is that something?
It's completely a conscious effort. It's something that when I was throwing harder, I was throwing a lot more pitches. And especially as a starter, at that time I was out of the bullpen. My first year I was a reliever. So I could afford to kind of do that, knowing that I only had to throw at the most two innings. But I know now, especially when as a starter, when your job is to go five, six, seven innings, you know, every time, it's that approach no longer works. You have to do something to lower your pitch count and to keep the defense in the game and, you know, get quick outs and stuff like that, because that's the stuff that's going to carry you further in the game, is, you know, getting quick outs and, you know, not walking guys. And it's extremely hard to do that when you're just kind of grabbing it and throwing it as hard as you can. You know, you lose a little bit as far as your control. And for me, the biggest thing was that I was able to throw a lot more strikes. I was able to get outs quicker, you know, within the first two or three pitches instead of going 2-2, 3-2 to every hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's got me a lot further. And, you know, hopefully if I can continue to work on it and get a little bit more movement on the sinker, and, you know, just be that much more successful.
What pitches do you currently throw?
I throw a sinker, a four-seam fastball, slider, and a changeup. And I might start working on a cutter, just, you know, something, same kind of thing as a sinker, just to get a little bit of movement inside the zone and, you know, hopefully miss a few barrels. So, I mean, it's just constant adjustment all the time, especially as a pitcher and a hitter. I mean, you're just constantly adjusting to what, you know, everybody's kind of throwing at you. So any extra kind of advantage that we can get, any movement that we can get, anything else that we can do, you know, it's just, you know, that much more advantageous.
And if you're throwing 100 pitches with your current arsenal, what are you throwing of each one? How many times?
Going back to the way we pitch with our fastballs, I mean, I throw probably 75-80% of fastballs. If I throw 100 pitches in a game, I'm probably throwing 80 fastballs. You know, I'll probably throw 10-15 sliders and then 5-6 changeups. And, you know, a lot of those fastballs, keep in mind, are sinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Especially first pitch, you know, first pitch to be a bat, or, you know, in fastball counts, you know, 2-0 where the hitter's looking, you know, for a fastball. Just, you know, kind of that sinker to kind of miss it, get a ground ball. But I have to stick with my fastball. That's kind of what got me into pro ball.
Right.
And, you know, you can't really stray away from kind of what got you here. So
I feel like I've been coming out to the fall league for 3 years now, and in the past I talked to Mark Reynolds and he's telling me about golfing on the off day, and I know it's something where the teams want you to come out here and learn and enjoy yourself simultaneously, but the league feels a little more businessy to me this time, where you guys are out here to accomplish business on it seems like some of the guys I've talked to on their off days, you're just resting up, getting ready to go again.
It's weird because during the season, when you have, you rarely have off days. I mean, you have maybe an off day a month, maybe two if you're lucky. And so on those days, you know, it's a long season. You have 6 or 7 months of 150 games. So it's good to go out and, you know, go golfing or just to do something to kind of, you know, get your mind away from it so that, you know, you're able to, you know, come right back. But and here, especially in this league, the talent's so good that you can't really slack off. I mean, you can't really go out and, you know, do stuff that you would do during the season, especially just because everybody's here to play and to prove that they're, you know, the best at their position or, you know, whatever, you know, whatever way your mindset is. So here, I mean, we had an off day yesterday and literally I don't even think we left the house. Like, we just cleaned up a little bit and just watched football and stuff like that and just, you know, just kind of relaxed, because especially for us, if we win, you know, one or two more games and we clinch, you know, to go to the championship game, and, you know, if you're going to be here and you're going to be playing and trying to, you know, get better, if you have a chance to win, I mean, you're going to do everything you can to try to win. And, you know, it's a team game, and it's a lot of, in the minor leagues, it's kind of individualized a little bit, but, you know, the main goal in every sport is to win. So when you have that opportunity, you know, you kind of take it a little bit more seriously.
Do you feel like then this league is more on the player development side, or almost, it sounds almost like this year it's been sort of a showcase. There's so many guys out here watching you and evaluating you. Are you ready for a big league roster spot kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, for a lot of the guys that are here, you know, they're kind of on the fringe. And a lot of guys have played in the big leagues here and are trying to get back. So it's, you always want to prove yourself, especially in leagues like this when you're against, you know, the talent. If you can be successful here, then I think it's a pretty good gauge for what you can do, you know, in the big leagues or, you know, even at higher levels in the minor leagues. So, you know, it's you want it to have that kind of relaxed field where there's not that much pressure. But when you see the amount of scouts and the amount of, you know, players that are here, you know, playing to win, it's kind of contagious. So, you know, everybody goes out there with the same kind of mindset where you're trying to prove yourself and show everybody that you can play, you know, at the next level. So it kind of has that, it's pretty, that competitive nature about it.
I know there are a lot of guys who get distracted by the prospect rankings and that sort of thing to come out. I know that's something probably not high on your list of things to do, see where people are ranking you as a pitcher, but still, when I'm out at minor league spring training, you kind of hear, oh, that's a top 30 guy from Baseball America.
Yeah, it's funny, because especially in spring training, because there's so many guys, you know, you have, you know, 150, 200 guys there, and everybody knows who everybody is, kind of, and especially when you have a lot of younger guys. I was the same exact way my first, you know, year or two in pro ball. It's like, you see guys walking around, you're like, oh, that's, you know, he's the number one prospect in Baseball America for the Orioles, or, you know, that kind of thing, and you kind of get caught up in it. But, you know, you kind of lose a little bit of that once you play longer, and if you're able to hang around, because you realize that, you know, this stuff's good, and it's important, you know, to have for fans and for kind of, you know, managers and stuff to have a gauge of who they're, you know, who they're playing with and stuff. But, you know, as a player, it's just important to go out and, you know, play hard, and you can't really get caught up in that sort of thing, because you can be doing really well, and you can be ranked, you know, in the top five and everything, and then you have, you know, a little skid and you're just out. So you can't take anything too well, and you can't take anything, you know, on the bad stuff, you can't take it too seriously, because that's just the nature of the game. I mean, everybody wants, you know, to jump on the backs of the best players and the guys who are doing the best, but as soon as you start to, you know, struggle or have a little downslide, they kind of lose interest. So the less you can pay attention to it, the better off you are, because you never really get that sense of, oh my, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to be playing this way, and you know, you just go out there and play, and you don't really, you know, pay attention to it, and it makes it a lot easier to bounce back, especially if you go through a little rough slide.
And it sounds like you have looked at some of those lists. Do you feel like the media does an okay job capturing who the best talents are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's for a reason. I mean, the guys that get ranked in those positions, I mean, it's for a reason. It's not just, you know, kind of blind luck that they're getting put in those positions. And, you know, a lot of the guys, they know, you know, when they're ranked, that, you know, that it's probably true. I mean, there's a reason for it. You've been able to go out and perform. You've been doing it for a long time. But, you know, it's just hard as a player, especially if you're one of the fringe guys who's kind of up there, but, you know, kind of gets lost a lot of the time. It's kind of hard for if you get, you know, just lost in it a little bit. But that's why I try to pay attention to it. And I see Strasburg, he does a great job of just kind of tunnel vision of when he's on the field, And, you know, so if you go out there and you play well, things will kind of take care of themselves. And for him, you know, all he has to do is just continue to do what he's doing. Don't try to do anything more. Don't try to be, you know, anything better than you are. I mean, he's, you know, ranked number one in everything for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's had an unbelievable college career. And, you know, so far he's been extremely successful. So just stay on that same path, trying to get caught up in it.
So you almost get the daily reminders, too. I mean, we can see people waiting for autographs here right now. And I'm sure when you're signing, they're like, hey, Brandon, I got you on my fantasy team. I'm rooting for you.
It's funny. I mean, especially once you get to know the guys. I remember the same way, especially growing up in Baltimore. I went to Camden Yards every opportunity I had to go to games. And I'd go to minor league games with Bowie and Frederick. And you have a different viewpoint of the guys when you're a young age and don't spend time around them. But once I played with everybody, like, everybody's just a normal, just like regular guy who just, you know, was talented at, you know, baseball. So it's a really weird dynamic. But when you go out there and you see, you know, fans, it's great though to have, you know, fans that, you know, appreciate you and follow you and, you know, support you and stuff like that. With him though, it's kind of crazy with the amount of amount of people and the amount of, you know, stuff that he has to go through. But it's just funny because he's just such a nice, like, easygoing guy, and it's just really funny that everybody has this kind of this idea of what he would be, and then, you know, he's just you know, lucky, happy-go-lucky, just going out and playing, and, you know, it's fun.
Do you feel like he's been misrepresented a little bit then?
I know it's not as much of a misrepresentation. I just think that he doesn't get enough credit for being the kind of person that he is, and I guess it's hard when you have a guy who has that much talent to kind of forget about that stuff, because I guess you kind of have a different mindset. But I just don't think he gets enough credit for being, you know, a nice guy, and the fans might give him a bad rap sometimes because he gets so mobbed with autographs and stuff like that, that, you know, if he doesn't sign for somebody, they, you know, they kind of get upset with him.
Right.
And it's like he goes through it so much, but, you know, I just think that he doesn't get enough credit for being, you know, the kind of person that he is.
Right. And the first day I was out here, I heard that he'd been scratched from the Rising Star game because his neck, and I saw him and he seemed to be moving around his spine, and I went and asked him if I could just ask him a couple questions about the neck injury, and I've heard they do just press conferences for him here. He doesn't generally talk to media members.
Yeah, I mean, because he just has to go through so much, and I mean, I don't really understand it on that scale, but, you know, I can only imagine what he's going through. I mean, we had the Grandest Night when he put on his jersey and, like, walked out of the clubhouse, and it was just unbelievable. Like, people, like, 50 people just swarmed around him, and he was like, dude, he's like, it's kind of scary. So he took off the jersey, and he's like, I'm sorry, guys. He's like, I just kind of did it. You know, it kind of takes some of the pressure off him, but he was like, that's one of the scariest things I've ever done, just because as soon as he walked out of the clubhouse with that jersey on, everybody just swarmed him, formed a circle around him. So, I mean, it was funny, but he's just trying to go out and play, and, I mean, I can understand a little bit, but, you know, it's just kind of a shame that he gets, you know, that he might get a bad rap, you know, but I guess that comes along with the territory, so.